Good morning. Again, a little. So, I want you to hear the beginning of the gospel this morning. The little beginning in our gospel book says, Jesus prayed. So this is a prayer. I'm praying not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me because of them and their witness about me. This is the message version. The goal is for all of them to become one heart and one mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so they might be one heart and one mind with us. Jesus is praying here a wonderful, wonderful prayer that all might be one. This week, as I was preparing for this sermon and this reflection, I was also talking with a good friend of mine about Mother's Day, and you know, we talk about how to weave it in or not weave it in a sermon, and she was reflecting on her bringing up years with her three siblings, four of them in the family, all close in age. And she said that typical brothers and sisters, she's the oldest, and they would always kind of butt heads and fight and bicker and purposely pick on one another. And because they were close in age, it was a really busy household. And mom was a stay-at-home mom, so she was with them all the time. And though my friend said, I often, you know, as the oldest sibling, tried to, you know, make sure everything went okay and tried to smooth things out, but often we would just go to one parent or the other and try to, like, you know, divide forces. So it just became even more chaotic. Now, I've only have one sister, so, and we had to get along because that's all we had. And I don't know what it'd be like with four kids, but I can imagine it would be chaos. And she said that her mother would eventually, when she became just exasperated and at her wit's end, would just look at them with a deep sigh and say, I just wish you all could get along. And that's when they knew it was time to separate and go into their own rooms and get along as they were apart. And as she grew up, my friend Beth said she reflects on her mother's exasperated, I just wish you would all get along, and said that she realized something, that when her mom was at her wit's end, she was not just saying, stop fighting and behave, stop picking on one another and bickering, but that there was this deeper sense of longing from her mom. Yes, she wanted the fighting, she wanted the anger and all that other stuff to stop, but she, Beth said, that she also had the sense that in those moments where her mom seemed to be at her wit's end, that there was something deeper, a desire and a wish from the bottom of her heart that would bubble up to the surface, and that was an unspoken or maybe spoken prayer of her mother. I wish you would all just get along. Was a deep prayer from her mother's heart, thinking that perhaps in years to come, you will not just stop fighting, but you will care and love for one another. The deepest sense of care and love of siblings. Getting along meant, she said, that they would care for one another rather than, you know, just the bickering and fighting, that they would see God in one another. Get along meant reconciling differences and stopping, of course, poor behavior. She said that getting along meant not only that they would play together that day, but in years to come, they would continue to play together and enjoy one another. But even more, they would share advice and respect and care for, and perhaps even in years to come, help heal wounds and old aches and pains. Well, here we are in our liturgical calendar, this church calendar that we follow. We are at the end of our Easter season, at the end of the season where we celebrate and give thanks for the resurrection of our Lord. And we've been hearing these wonderful stories about Jesus breaking free from the grave and his challenge to the disciples. In the midst of their fear, in the midst of their fighting and bickering, in the midst of all the things that are going on, and we've been hearing story after story from the book of Acts, the earliest church, the church that was struggling to figure out how to be one, the church that was trying to figure out how to bring the word of God into the life of not just the culture and tribe and family of the Jewish family, but to the Gentiles and those outside of what they knew, how to get along and to do good in the midst of diversity. So we're at the end of our season, hearing these stories, and Thursday marked Ascension, Jesus ascending to the Father, as our way of acknowledging that Jesus doesn't remain with us forever, but he also doesn't leave us in the lurch to figure it out and get along on our own. This time where we acknowledge that Jesus physically leaves the disciples on earth and promises to send them the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, where we will recognize and feel the breath, if we don't already, of the Holy Spirit in our midst as well. So in this time, Jesus is celebrating his disciples, calling for them to be one. But we hear this prayer as something deeper than just, hey, get along. Jesus prays for them, but also for us, that we all may be one, that we may get along, but that we may know there's a deeper longing in being one. Not that we'll just be like one another, not that we'll be identical to one another. Heck, if you think about it, next Sunday on Pentecost Sunday, all of the languages bestowed upon those disciples just was probably chaos. How to understand one another in the midst of different languages, let alone different cultures. But if a room full of crowded people, each understanding other languages, can be one for even just a moment, then this prayer also speaks to us. I wish you would all just get along. Also, I hope that you all could be one. Jesus is not saying, I hope that you all follow the same political party. I hope that you all like exactly the same things and the same foods, or understand scripture identically, or hold purposely identical beliefs as your neighbor. No, Jesus isn't saying to be conforming to one another, to be identical. Rather, unity means something more. When I was a young girl, one thing that always troubled me in worship was that darn creed. Those words that we would say over and over again on Sunday, and I kept feeling like, if I don't believe it exactly the way it's written on paper, how am I supposed to continue to follow it? And it was a stumbling block for me, because I thought I had to believe it exactly all the time. In fact, right before confirmation, you know, that sort of early eighth grade formative year where you go up and you say the creed in front of your entire congregation and you become an adult, or so I felt like that was supposed to be my thing, become an adult. Know everything, believe everything perfectly. I went to my pastor and I had an argument with him for 2 hours in his office. I said, Pastor, I don't believe everything perfectly. I don't know everything perfectly. I can't be confirmed. He said, Angela, it's okay.
Same thing happened in seminary.
Yeah, right? It did, actually. Thank God it doesn't have to be perfect. And so years later, maybe we don't understand the creed perfectly. Perhaps we can't follow it exactly. But now, as an adult, I realize that's not the point. Perhaps I struggle with some of the words. Perhaps I wish we would have a creed that would be just for us and for our congregation, our statement of faith, but it is what we have. And so now when I state the creed, I realize that it's something that brothers and sisters of the faith from all around the world are saying together. So now when I say the creed, I don't get stuck on the words exactly. I'm thinking of my brothers and sisters in Tanzania that I spoke the creed with in worship, in Swahili that I didn't understand. I think of my brothers and sisters in Nome, Alaska, that I spent a summer with, who said it in their native languages that I didn't understand. I think of my brothers and sisters in Denmark and in Germany and other places around the world in this country that they are saying the creed to, perhaps not at the exact same time, but they are speaking the creed. We are all one under the umbrella of our loving God. A God who says, I have made this creation in its diverse and wonderful ways, and it is good. We are all one under that umbrella of love. The path of discipleship, of Christian following of the way, and this unity, it involves walking the path of justice and mercy and humility and grace for all people, for love of neighbor, not for one more than the other, but for all equally under the umbrella of our great God. I think this deep prayer of Jesus that we heard today is a prayer that we may all, this entire creation, be reconciled to one another, that we can stop fighting and harming one another over our differences, no matter how small or great, that we may love one another and find beauty and God in the other, so that we might not feel like opposites, but that we might all feel like one. A little bit like a deep desire for a mother, for her children to just get along, but something deeper and greater for all of creation. Amen.